The meeting starts at 8:30 a.m. The same six faces take the same seats. A high-stakes decision moves fast. The shortlist is read. It is tight. It is familiar. The room is calm, but the pattern is loud. Strong managers feed a thin stream into vice president. The stream narrows again before chief titles. On paper, the pipeline looks healthy. In practice, it bends, then pinches, then stalls. This story follows that bend. We map where talent drops out, where rules look neutral yet hit unevenly, and where opportunity hides in plain sight. We listen to people who have led large teams and still could not cross the last step. We sit inside the quiet moments when a name is added or removed from a slate. By the end, we will know which levers move outcomes, which signals matter more than talk, and how to test progress with clear dates and clear numbers. Chapter 1. The Room Where Shortlists Form. 8:30 a.m., conference level, downtown tower. Six people take their usual seats around a pale oak table. The agenda reads succession planning and critical roles for the next four quarters. The chief of staff reviews timing. The head of human resources opens a deck. A list of names appears on a wall screen. The same cadence follows. Quick nods. Short remarks. A few questions about scale. Then the list tightens. A pattern sits in plain sight. Managers feed upward into a pool of directors. Directors feed into a narrow band of vice presidents. The band narrows again before the chief titles. On paper, the pipeline looks strong. In practice, it tapers as decisions approach the top. No one raises a hand to say the word barrier. No one needs to. The shortlist says it without help. Three terms shape this chapter. Glass ceiling is the invisible cap on advancement at the top. Broken rung is the first misstep that keeps people off the ladder later. Sponsorship is public risk by a senior leader on behalf of a person, not only advice. These words matter because the room uses softer versions. The room says readiness. The room says culture fit. The room says proven scope. Each phrase sounds neutral. Each phrase also carries choices. The human resources lead moves to a slide called leadership bench. Portraits fill the grid. Metrics sit to the right. Span of control. Revenue impact. Tenure. International exposure. The group reviews who is 1 year out from vice president. They review who is 1 year out from chief. They mark a few people green. They mark others yellow. Red appears next to a handful of roles that lack a clear successor. Conversation turns to search firms. A draft intake note is open in a window. One person asks about the director who took over the West region last spring. The response is quick. Good operator. Needs one more cycle at scale. Someone else mentions a senior vice president who led a complex recovery during a supply shock. Another person says she is strong but still light on boardroom time. A short silence follows. The chief of staff moves the agenda forward. The list shrinks by two more names. The timeline of narrowing begins earlier than this room. It begins at the first inflection point between manager and director. The first hurdle is not a title. It is a set of stretch assignments that change the level of risk. The person who gets an integration project learns how cost and culture collide. The person who gets a troubled site learns how to manage a crisis. Those assignments seed later slates. Those who miss them appear less proven at the exact moment slates matter. Two anonymized arcs show how small choices harden into walls. The first is a product leader called Casey. 10 years with the company. Strong reviews. A record of steady delivery in crowded markets. Case A led a mid-size launch that beat the forecast by a modest margin. Case A asked for a global rotation and did not get one. The reason given was timing with a major client ramp. Case A stayed and covered the ramp. The ramp went well. A year later, a vice president role opened in another region. The slate listed global exposure as a must-have. Case A had none. The slate moved on without Case A. The second is an operations leader called Case B. 12 years in field roles. A record of fixing what is broken. Brought down defects at two plants. Ran a cross-shift labor plan during a pandemic winter. Case B asked for P&L ownership for a small unit. The request was deferred. The message said later. The unit went to a peer with prior finance exposure. When a senior vice president role opened, P&L ownership sat on the must-have line. Case B served on a task force that wrote the new quality standard for the network. The shortlist did not call that P&L. The shortlist moved on. Inside the room, the talk stays technical. No one says bias. No one needs to. The levers look practical. levers like scope, revenue, exposure, and slate hygiene. Yet each lever points back to prior gatekeeping. Gatekeeping often sits hidden inside adjectives. Proven at scale can mean sponsored into a stretch. Culture fit can mean looks like people already here. Ready now can mean given the right assignments 2 years ago. The words carry weight as if carved in stone. The history of assignments carves the words long before this meeting. A second meeting runs later that day. It has a smaller screen and weaker coffee. It is a panel for an external chief role. A search partner reads out the slate. Half the candidates arrive through the partner's network. The other half arrive through backchannel outreach from directors who serve on other boards. The chair asks about prior board exposure. The search partner answers in short, polished lines. They reference a formal board readiness program that feeds their lists. That program favors executives who are already present to boards. The circle feeds itself. Those who present to boards present to more boards. Those who do not keep waiting outside the door. A senior leader on the panel checks notes. They ask for hard evidence of scale and crisis leadership. The partner cites a short case study for a candidate who ran a major recall without long-term brand damage. The panel leans forward. They move on to the next candidate. The partner pauses at a point that sounds small, but is not small. The partner says the candidate will interview well because she has a long record with investors. The word long lands with double meaning. It means years. It also means the right room many times. Two more snapshots add texture to the funnel. One is the calendar view of a director who wants to show up at the top. The calendar shows what the person touches. Quarterly business review. Budget prep. Staff meeting. Headcount review. It lacks investor days. It lacks audit committee prep. It lacks time inside a compensation cycle at the executive level. The person can learn these things. The person does not see them yet. The slate will later ask if the person has seen them. The answer will be no. The other snapshot is a talent review form. The form uses 9 boxes. Potential runs along the top. Performance runs down the side. The instructions say to calibrate across units. The grid looks neutral. The box notes hold the real story. They use words like polish, executive presence, and command of the room. No one writes who sets the room. No one writes who commands it by default. The form goes to a shared drive. It will appear in the next meeting when the shortlist tightens. In the background of these snapshots sits a quiet force. The force is sponsorship. Sponsorship is not advice at lunch. Sponsorship is senior leaders taking public risk to move a person into a role that demands stretch. Mentoring can be private and safe. Sponsorship puts a name on the line. Without this force, even strong records stall a step below the top. With this force, a person gets the assignment that later proves scale. The records that show scale often come from a door that someone else opened. A travel day offers a third room. It is a video call after dark. The chief financial officer meets with the compensation committee chair. The topic is succession for a chief role that could open next cycle. The chair asks whether internal candidates meet external pay benchmarks. The officer says that 2 candidates do and 1 does not. The chair asks why the third lags. The officer says the compensation history follows job scope history and market data. Scope history ties back to stretch roles and earlier slates. The chain loops again. Earlier choices decide later prices. Later prices decide what looks like parity on paper. The paper then defines readiness. The chapter's key question sharpens here. Where are the choke points that turn strong pipelines into steep drop-offs at the very top? The question is not only if someone is good. The question is who got the risks that prove it early enough. The question is who presents to the right rooms in time. The question is who has a sponsor with enough weight to convert a maybe into a yes. The answer lives inside calendars, assignment logs, slate histories, and board exposure. The answer lives in words that read neutral, yet push in one direction when they meet prior gates. Later in the week, the company holds a leadership forum. The theme is growth at scale. Panels show best practices. The keynote talks about purpose and talent. A slide flashes a goal for senior representation by the year 2027. The crowd claps. The goal is real. The path to it still runs through the quiet rooms. The forum is light and hopeful. The shortlist rooms are quiet and decisive. The distance between the two settings is where many careers slow. A final scene returns to case A and case B. Case A sits with a mentor who is generous and honest. The mentor says the record is solid but light on global. the mentor offers three names to call. The calls could lead to a lateral move that adds exposure. Casey nods. It is a plan that asks for patience. The vice president slate closes in 2 weeks. Casey meets with a senior leader who has real power. The senior leader likes the results in plant quality. The senior leader suggests a temporary assignment in a small unit that needs a turnaround. The assignment would include P&L. The role is not formal yet. The senior leader says the unit is sensitive and under review. Casey leaves the meeting without a timeline. The deck from the original meeting goes out as a PDF at 5:43 p.m. The subject line reads bench update. The notes capture decisions. A few names move forward to interviews for vice president. The chief role will go to a broader external search. The comments column says slate strength is high. The comments do not name the people who almost made it. The comments do not show the assignments that shaped this outcome 2 years ago. The comments do not show who asked for what and when. In a corner office, the chair of the board reviews a one-page summary of the chief search. The chair marks a few questions for the next call with the search firm. One line asks whether the slate includes candidates from adjacent industries. Another line asks how the firm sources people with investor credibility. The chair underlines the point about investor days. The note will drive the next slate. The circle connects again. Exposure begets exposure. The shortlist turns on that hinge. The chapter stays with the central stake. The stake is trust in how power moves. People believe in the path if the path can be seen. People believe in the path if the rules that shape it are consistent and clear. When the path is opaque, rumor fills it. When rumor fills it, engagement drains. The company can publish targets for the year 2027. The targets will depend on what happens in the rooms described here. These rooms decide in short lines. These rooms create long shadows. There is also the stake of performance. Boards want durable results. Durable results come from real pools of proven leaders. Narrow slates create single points of failure. Single points of failure create risk when a leader exits fast or a market turns. This stake is cold and financial. It sits next to the stake that is human and fair. The two are not enemies. The two rise together when the process finds more of the talent that is already in the building and gives it the right risks at the right time. The last minutes of the week mirror the first. A calendar alert pops up for a follow-up on succession. The chief of staff sets the agenda. The head of human resources adds a note to revisit global exposure paths. A senior leader replies with a short line about timing and market pressure. The call will last 40 minutes. The list will tighten again. Names will move up or down by one line. The paper record will look clean. The lived record will tell a harder story. The screen sleeps. The building empties. The slate remains in a folder on a shared drive. It is a quiet file with loud effects. The next chapter will step inside the levers that shaped it. The levers are evaluation habits, informal networks, and the rules around board eligibility. The levers are how succession is run. The question now is simple. Who controls those levers, and how are they turned in practice? Repetition audit. Prior events are compressed to the first meeting scene and two anonymized arcs. No restatements beyond one-line summaries. Chapter 2. The levers behind the list. The second meeting of the month is called calibration. It aims to level ratings across units. The deck opens with a grid. 9 boxes. Performance down the left. Potential across the top. The words feel clinical. The notes tell the real story. One manager reads the guidance out loud. Use examples. Avoid soft labels. Then the room offers soft labels. Polished. Executive presence. Cultural fluency. These words land like facts. They are judgments built on prior access. Access is uneven. A vice president describes two directors with similar numbers. One presents to the executive team each quarter. One presents to direct reports. The first is called natural on stage. The second is called steady. The first gets marked high potential. The second gets marked strong core. The grid looks fair. The outcomes split. Pattern matching shapes the next segment without a single raised voice. A senior leader says the next chief of operations should have a path like the last one. The list shrinks in a sentence. Another leader talks about investor trust. They give an example of a person who has been on the earnings call many times. People nod. No one asks how that access was assigned. The nod decides who will get more of it. Informal networks enter the room through calendars and group chats. A quiet dinner after an industry panel. a Saturday morning ride with a few executives, a text thread that trades insights before the week starts. None of this is policy. All of this influences who is top of mind when slates form. When a search firm asks for names, the names come from memory first. Memory favors people who share time. Time is not evenly shared. Succession planning gets a deeper audit in a working session. The team opens role profiles for three executive seats. Each profile has must-haves and nice-to-haves. Must-haves include global scope, major transformation, and investor exposure. Nice-to-haves include adjacent industry experience and a record with regulators. Each must have ties to a gate. Global scope requires a rotation that few receive. Transformation requires control of a budget big enough to move. Investor exposure requires access to a narrow stage. The team runs a side-by-side of two internal candidates for one chief role. Candidate 1 led a network expansion across two regions. Candidate 2 led a crisis recovery in one large region. The profile says global. The profile favors candidate 1. The group does not ask why candidate 2 never got the second region. A document assigns that decision to a committee from 2 years ago. The committee did not make notes that explain the choice. The current team treats the result as neutral history. Executive search processes reinforce these profiles. A partner presents a long list. 30 names shrink to 10. 10 shrink to 4. The criteria look objective. The supply of candidates who meet them is not. The partner adds a small remark that is easy to miss. They say their board readiness program feeds many slates. They say the program invites people who already present to boards. The pipeline loops. The path into the program is itself a filter. Compensation committees add a second filter that looks like math and is also history. Pay set to market matches prior scope. Prior scope follows prior assignments. When internal candidates request a special assignment to close a gap, the pay band may not support the move. The unit cannot carry a higher grade. A different person is slotted who already holds the grade. The gap stays open. Next year, the slate will say the first person lacks that scale. Sponsorship rises again as the quiet lever that changes the map. It is visible in one scene. A senior executive calls the head of operations. They ask for a one-year assignment for a director who needs P&L. They attach their name to the risk. The head of operations says the timing is tight. The executive repeats the request. They say the company will get a better slate next year if the move happens now. The assignment is created within a week. The director gets the line on the resume that will matter later. The difference between advice and action sits in that call. Mentoring appears in the same week. It is generous but soft. A lunch. A call. A page of reading. It helps a person feel seen. It does not move gates by itself. When the year turns and the slate forms, the person with a sponsor has new lines that match the must-haves. The person with a mentor has good perspective and the same resume they had before. Parental leave and caregiving penalties appear in subtle forms. One director misses a critical quarter for a planned leave. The performance year looks flat. The team knows the context. The grid still compares quarterly outputs side by side. The director is marked as stable. Stable is not a bad word. It is not a launching word either. In a later succession discussion, the phrase "ready next cycle" appears. Next cycle slides a year. The slate closes now. Global mobility enters with visas, schooling, and elder care. A high-potential engineer declines a 2-year rotation in a distant region. The reason is family health. The profile notes that global scope is still a gap. The person offers to lead a virtual program with cross-region teams to build exposure. The request is logged as creative, but not equivalent. The slate circles the must-have again. The person stays at the line below. Board eligibility rules layer on top of this. Some companies require prior board service to sit on a corporate board. Others accept committee exposure as a bridge. Executive networks and search firms steer people into nonprofit or advisory boards as stepping stones. These steps are offered through private calls. Private calls go to people who are already in certain loops. When a person asks how to get into the loop, the answer is often network first, program second. The order matters. It keeps the path narrow. A data team is asked to study outcomes for senior appointments across 5 years. They look at time and role, types of assignments, and who presented to which bodies. They find that presenting to the board at least twice before a chief appointment correlates with higher odds of selection. The finding sounds like merit. It is also a map of past access. The report is neutral. The interpretation in meetings is not always neutral. The phrase earns trust appears often. The phrase was given the stage appears less. The company runs an internal pilot to widen stretch access. The pilot creates a slate of micro-assignments that carry real stakes without full job moves. A director leads a crisis drill for a plant. Another director coaches a product review with the chief executive. They both gain stories and proof. The pilot is small. It helps a handful of people. The rest of the system continues under older habits. Evaluation bias is not only in adjectives. It lives in how risk is remembered. One leader takes a risky bet that pays. They are labeled bold. Another leader takes a similar bet that misses by a narrow margin. They are labeled not yet. The first leader gets a second bet. The second leader gets a corrective plan. The file reads as performance history. It is also a record of how the system prices risk differently for different people. An external comparison arrives from a peer company. They share how they run slate reviews with observers from audit and legal. Observers do not vote. They document process compliance. They ask if must-haves are validated against assignment access. The practice slows meetings by a few minutes. It also surfaces which requirements exclude people who never had a chance to get them. The practice is rare. It spreads only when a sponsor at the top insists. Two specific processes shape outcomes more than most. The first is how special projects are assigned. Many are offered through quiet outreach. A text. A call after a meeting. A nod in a hall. These paths move faster than formal postings. They also miss people who are not in the path of those texts. The second is how shortlists are composed for interviews. If the list starts narrow, the final outcome rarely widens. If the list starts broad and is reviewed by a neutral chair, interview performance changes the story more often. Search partners speak bluntly in private calls. They say clients ask for proven scope and investor credibility. They say they can find it if the net is cast across sectors. They also say clients often remove unconventional profiles late in the cycle. The stated reason is time. The hidden reason is comfort. Comfort reads like fit. Fit often circles back to the familiar. The chapter turns on a reversal inside one firm. A board demands a diversified slate for a chief role. The company produces one. The interviews run. A finalist who does not match the old mold wins the room on substance. The board is ready to appoint. A late call comes from a major investor who prefers a traditional profile. The board pauses. They request reference calls. The references are strong. The board proceeds. The appointment is made. The investor adjusts. The reversal shows two truths. Resistance is real. It bends when the process holds. Another reversal goes the other way. A leadership team sets targets for senior representation by the year 2027. The targets are public. A key sponsor leaves for a new job. The energy behind stretch assignments slips. The next slate looks similar to the last. The numbers do not move. The message is not spoken out loud. People read it anyway. Progress depends on pressure that does not fade when one person exits. Data returns to the center of the table. A simple dashboard shows who has access to which proving grounds. Board presentations. Investor days. Cross-region roles. Emergency recoveries. Mergers and integrations. The dashboard shows who has not had any of these in 3 years. The list is long. The head of human resources proposes a rotation auction. Leaders must nominate people from that list to take on at least one proving ground in the next 2 quarters. The room is quiet. The idea would change calendars right now. The decision is kicked to the next session. Informal rules shape formal results. One rule says do not sponsor someone you have not seen under pressure. That rule is rational. It can also freeze out people who have not been allowed into pressure. A counter rule says try a contained test. A 70-day assignment with clear guardrails. The person either shows it or does not. The company gets a real signal. The risk is bounded. Without this counter rule, the status quo calls itself prudent and stays in place. Board eligibility comes back at the close of quarter. A governance committee drafts a list of employees who might sit on external boards without conflicts. They consider compliance and time. They also consider who would represent the company well. The list is compared to the dashboard. The overlap is thin. A director asks why. The answer is circular. External boards want people who have already done investor work. investor work is given to people who are already seen as board ready. The loop holds until someone cuts a new entry point. There is a cost to narrow slates that does not show up on the income statement. It shows up in retention. People who do not see a path leave earlier. Replacements take time and attention. Teams slow down. Institutional memory thins. The company pays in delay and in lost options. The finance team can estimate the cost. The cultural cost is harder to price. Both are real. A day in the life of succession shows the mix of detail and drift. A leader writes a short note to move one name from pipeline to slate. They attach metrics. The metrics tell a story of scale. The story exists because a sponsor placed the person in a stretch 6 quarters ago. Another leader edits a role profile. They reduce must-haves from 5 to 3. The change opens the door a little wider. Later, an interview panel gives feedback that favors familiarity. The panel uses soft language. It still tilts the decision. The system is a sum of these small moves. The chapter closes in a room with no windows and a long table. The agenda is executive search progress. 4 finalists are listed. A 5th name is discussed and dropped. The chair asks if the slate reflects the market of available talent. The partner says yes. The partner believes the statement. The market they see is a market filtered by access. The question hangs. The chair asks if anyone can attest that the must-haves were reachable inside the company for the people who missed them. The room is quiet. The room changes the topic. This is where the story turns. The next chapter will deal with levers that create different results. It will show what stays measured. It will show who owns which step. It will name the cost of doing nothing. It will set dates and targets and verify them. The core unknown remains the same. Will the system hold itself to proof, or will it drift back to comfort? Repetition audit. Earlier scenes referenced only once. Terms defined once. Prior examples compressed to new cases without restating Chapter 1 events. Chapter 3. Proof over comfort. Monday 9 a.m. Governance Committee. The chair opens with one line. The company will move from intent to proof. The room nods. Proof means changing who gets access, how slates are formed, and how progress is verified on dates that are set today. The plan reads simple. The work is exact. First lever, access. A calendar map is built for proving grounds. Board presentations. Investor days. Cross-region projects. Emergency recoveries. Integrations and carve-outs. Each business unit submits names for who did these in the last 3 years. The list is compared to the leadership pipeline. The gaps are visible. A rule follows. At least half of all proving ground slots for the next 2 quarters will be assigned from the gap list. The chief executive approves the rule. The chief of staff owns scheduling. Unit heads must nominate by Friday. The list is posted to an internal page that shows dates and names. People can see the change or see the stall. Second lever, slate hygiene. Every executive shortlist begins wide, not narrow. A neutral chair outside the hiring line reviews must-haves against assignment access data. If a must-have was not reachable for internal candidates, the chair can mark it as substitution allowed. Substitutions are listed in writing. A record is kept. The chair also checks the source of names. If more than half come from one network, the slate resets. A fresh search begins. The inconvenience is expected. The outcome is stronger. Third lever. Sponsorship made formal. Senior leaders sign public compacts to sponsor by name. Each compact lists one person and one concrete stretch. P&L for a small unit. A recovery drill with real risk. A board committee dry run that leads to a real slot. Delivery dates are set. Results are captured in a short note that becomes part of the person's record. Mentoring continues in private. Sponsorship is logged in daylight. The difference is the trail. Fourth lever, board readiness. The governance committee creates 2 entry points. One is a 6-month internal seminar that teaches audit, compensation cycles, and investor relations, capped with a mock meeting. The other is an external placement track that introduces directors to nonprofit and advisory boards with no conflict. Candidates are nominated by results and potential. The track includes people who have not been on investor calls. It rotates presenters into real segments with observer status first, then the microphone. Investor days become a classroom with clear rules. 5th lever, leave normalization. Performance scoring separates leave windows from readiness labels. A policy clarifies that planned leave cannot shift a person from ready now to ready next cycle without a business note that explains scope impact beyond the quarter. Managers are trained to plan stretch before or after leave windows. The point is not charity. The point is accuracy. The record must reflect proven scope, not a calendar gap. Sixth lever, mobility equivalence. Not everyone can move across the world for 2 years. The firm defines equivalence for global scope. Leading cross-region programs with real budget. Owning a client segment that spans markets. Running a crisis response that crosses time zones. The equivalents are pre-approved as meeting the must-have, if delivered to spec. The rule is posted. The pressure on visas and families eases without lowering the bar. Seventh lever, search firm terms. Contracts add two clauses. One, long lists must show where each name came from. Alumni network, competitor roster, analyst referral, or open research. Two, the partner must certify that at least one-third of the finalists reached investor rooms or boardrooms through access created during the search, not only prior access. This forces process muscle. The firm earns fees for widening, not recycling. Eighth lever, process observers. Audit and legal send one observer to each slate review for chief roles. Observers do not vote. They ask two questions on the record. Were must-haves reachable inside the company? Did the slate start wide enough relative to the market? If the answers are weak, the meeting notes show it. Weak notes trigger a second review with the chair of the board. The loop raises the cost of drifting back to comfort. Ninth lever, compensation scaffolding. A small fund is created to bridge grade and pay when a stretch move is needed. The fund covers temporary adjustments for assignments that give access to missing scope. Finance tracks return. The point is not to pay more for the same job. It is to fund the step that later removes the barrier. Without the bridge, units claim they cannot carry the grade. With the bridge, the move happens now. Tenth lever, transparency window. Twice a year, the company publishes an internal snapshot of senior pipeline health. It shows who got proving grounds, who presented to the board, who entered the board readiness track, and how many slates reset. Names are included for the people who consent. Aggregates are shown for those who do not. The snapshot is simple. It turns whispers into facts and makes progress legible. The first quarter under the new rules is bumpy. Units rush to nominate for proving grounds and find calendars full. The chief of staff holds time. Investor relations retools agendas to allow shorter segments from new voices. The chair reminds the board that a different sound in the room is a feature, not a bug. The sound changes slowly. It changes. One director who was flatlined at steady gets a 70-day recovery assignment at a troubled site. The assignment is bounded. Safety first, then customer impact, then margin. The director builds a cross-unit team, sets a daily pulse, and reports weekly to the executive team. At day 59, defects drop to a level that exceeds last year by a small margin. The record now shows crisis leadership under time pressure. When the quarter ends, the person presents three learning points to the board. The presentation is tight. A line that was missing is now present. A product leader who lacked global scope gets an equivalent. She owns a cross-region launch with full revenue accountability and shared manufacturing. She runs it through a time zone lattice that forces clear handoffs. She documents decisions and risk calls. The launch lands within 2% of forecast. She co-presents the post-mortem to audit and to the executive team. The record now shows global complexity handled cleanly without a move that would have broken family care. Search partners adapt. They bring wider names and push clients to interview unconventional profiles early. When a late cycle wobble appears, they use the contract language to keep the slate broad. One partner says plainly that a client who wants the same mold can find another firm. The stance carries risk. It also builds a reputation for delivering leaders who raise performance. The market for that reputation grows. Not every change works. The first rotation auction draws nominations, then stalls on handoffs. Some leaders try to hold their strongest people close. The chief executive tells the group that hoarding talent is career limiting. The message travels. A second auction runs with firmer rules. Winners must transfer on a date certain. Backfills are pre-planned. The second auction moves on time. The dashboard matures. It stops showing only access and starts showing outcome. Who got the slot? What they delivered? What changed in slate composition because of it? the board asks for a red-amber-green view against the targets set in January. The first read is mixed. Investor day access is up. Cross-region equivalents are up. Executive shortlists are wider. Board readiness is on track. The share of chief finalists with prior investor days remains low. The chair asks why. Investor relations says they are still learning how to make segments short without losing clarity. The committee sets a design sprint to break the format into 5-minute parts. The constraint turns into a tool. 6 months in, the governance committee reviews attrition. The exit rate for directors in the succession pool is down. Time to fill chief roles is also down. Search costs begin to bend. Culture surveys show a small rise in trust that slates are fair. The change is not a banner. It is a trend line. The company keeps the work quiet and steady. The noise outside rises and falls. The process keeps its shape. A year in, the first two appointments land. One is a chief of operations with a record built through a bounded crisis, cross-region equivalent scope, and investor days that started under observer status. The second is a chief marketing officer who arrived through a wide slate that pulled from an adjacent sector and passed through a late investor wobble with proof. Both appointments passed the rule. Must-haves matched to reachable access. Slate started broad. Process notes are complete. Audit observers sign off. Results in role will matter most. First quarters are watched closely. The story is not done. Costs and trade-offs are recorded. The company spends time on resets when slates are too narrow. Meetings run longer. Leaders feel the drag. The chair frames the drag as the price of better decisions. A few sponsors take bets that do not pay. The company treats misses as data, not blame. A miss can be honest. The system logs why and adjusts. The point is to learn in sunlight. What remains unknown is real. Will targets hold if markets tighten? Will sponsors keep placing names under pressure when earnings are thin? Will external pressures push boards toward old molds? Will middle layers pass on the pressure or absorb it without action? These questions do not resolve in one cycle. They require habits, not campaigns. Verified takeaways at this point. Proving grounds determine readiness more than classroom content. Access must be assigned, tracked, and time-bound. A neutral chair with substitution rules prevents must-haves from becoming coded barriers. Sponsorship that is named and dated moves records faster than mentoring alone. Board readiness can be taught and staged. Investor exposure can be broken into smaller, safer segments and still build trust. Search firms widen slates when contracts pay for widening, not recycling. Compensation and grade bridges are small costs compared to the drag of stalled slates and replacement churn. Transparency windows reduce rumor and allow teams to see if the path is real. 12 months, 24 months, and 36 months mark the audit cadence. At each mark, the board reviews 4 lines. Pipeline access distribution. Slate breadth and resets. Appointment mix and time to fill. Performance and role after appointment. The 4th line keeps the standard high. Outcomes must hold. The company seeks durable wins, not optics. The audits prevent a quiet slip back to comfort. The last meeting of the year is short. The chief of staff shows the dashboard. The chair asks 1 question. Will next year's process require as much push? The head of human resources answers with care. Pressure should shift from personality to protocol. The weight will move from 1 sponsor's will to a set of rules that do not depend on who holds the seat. That is the goal. The chair agrees. The room ends on that line. The building empties. The shortlist files are still in the drive. They read differently now. Notes show why must-haves were set. Names show who got access and when. Observers wrote what they saw. People inside the company can trace paths to the top with dates and steps. The work is not glamour. It is maintenance of trust. The story closes with an open test. In the next downturn or the next surge, does the company keep proof over comfort? If the answer is yes, the top of the house will widen and stay strong. If the answer is no, the old mold will return in a quarter and the pipeline will thin again. The next calendar will tell the truth. The rooms will show it. Repetition audit. Earlier concepts referenced once as needed. No scene or definition restated in full. Exit lines deliver the verification lens and the next test.